This is Victrios.
Glory to God. All right, today I have been granted the opportunity to bring the word to us this morning. Again, greetings from Pastor E. Even though I didn't check my phone this morning, I know that his heart is here. Not just because you are here, but also because Pastor Tope is at home. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So I want to talk to us this morning about good to all. If you were to title my message, I would say good to all. Amen? And I really appreciate the choir for your ministry, because your ministry helped me this morning. Sometime when I got to know that I would be leading or I would be sharing, I wanted to send the choir some songs, but I held myself. And I just thank the Lord, and I thank the choir and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, because all the songs you sang are things that I probably would have suggested. Thank you so much, and I appreciate what you have done this morning. So we are looking at good to all. I want to ask you something before I get into the message. What is the last thing you did with opportunity? Used it. What's the last thing you did with opportunity? Anybody else? Used it. Okay, you took the opportunities that you had. Amen. But I don't want you to settle for just taking the opportunities. I want you to make them. Amen. Make the opportunity. And I felt led to share that with somebody. Don't wait for an opportunity to present itself. Take the chance and make the opportunity. Amen. Because sometimes you wait too long for an opportunity to present itself. But there are those that do stand up and make opportunities. Amen. It's only impossible until you do it. Who knows what that is? Nike. Amen. So just do it. It's only impossible until you do it. Somebody is going to do it. Why not you? Amen. Luke 6 and verse 36. And Luke 6 and verse 36. The Bible says, and hopefully we shall use the NIV for other scriptures. This is simple enough, but for the other ones, let's use NIV or easier to read version. The Bible says, "Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Amen. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And for me, that scripture is saying that God is calling us to be merciful. Amen. Hallelujah. God is calling you and I to be merciful. So if you have not realized, or if you have not received a call of God on your life, this is a call for you. Amen. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen. What is a mercy-filled life? What is a mercy-filled life? What is mercy, anyway? Mercy is compassionate treatment or an attitude towards an offender or an adversary. Mercy is compassionate treatment of or attitude towards an offender or an adversary. How many of us have been offended before? We're in church, don't lie. I expect to see all the hands up. Amen? What does it... There's something in a person, or there's something in human nature, that when you are offended, you want to somewhat offend, or you want to retaliate. But mercy is the compassionate treatment of or attitude towards an offender or an adversary, somebody who is not like you, or somebody who is against you. Amen? Also, mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy is also compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone with whom it's within your power to punish or harm. I'm thinking as a parent, I'm thinking a child or a son or a daughter. Very often it's within my power to punish the child if they offend me or if they do something bad. But mercy says, you overlook it. Amen? So a mercy-filled life is a life that is always in tune with God's mercy and also always extending his mercy to others. A mercy-filled life is me being in tune with the mercy of God and also being the mercy arm of God in the neighborhood. Amen? So the Bible says, be merciful. My translation says, be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as your Father is all these. So God is tender towards us. God is sympathetic towards us. God is responsive. And aren't you guys glad that God is responsive? Aren't you glad that when you cry out for mercy, God responds? Amen? So God is compassionate. And God is calling you and I to live a life of mercy, to be merciful. How does God show mercy? Let's read Psalm 145, verse 8 or 9. I'm trying to rush through this so that I do not keep you here so long. So pray for me. Amen? Pray for me. And have mercy if I extend my time. I promise you I won't. Amen. All right, let's read Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Amen. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is good to all. Amen? And that's why I chose the title of the message, because it is important to buttress the point that God is good to all. God is good to you. Look around. Look around. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good to you. And I will be as well. Amen. That one came a little bit crumbled. But the Bible says that God is good to all. And that means that God is good both to us that are in the church and those that are outside of the church. Amen. And he has compassion on all he has made. What are some of the examples of God showing us his compassion? Exodus 3 and verse 7. Exodus 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Verse 8 says, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. Amen. So the Israelites, in a time where they were being persecuted or they were being mistreated, they cried out to God, and God heard their cry. Amen? We go back to what mercy means. It means being responsive. It means being compassionate. So God heard their cry and came to their rescue. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when you cried out to the Lord to be saved, that he heard your cry and came to your rescue? Amen? So God is touched with the suffering of men. God is touched with what you are going through. And I want every one of us to leave this place knowing that God is touched with what I am going through. Now, I, as Andrew, may not know what you're going through, or I may not even be touched. I pray that as we finish this message, I will be touched by your suffering. Amen. But sometimes humanity doesn't allow other people to be touched by your own suffering. Or maybe you can't even share it. Maybe it's a wound so deep that you can't even share it with the person next to you. I want you to know that God is touched by your suffering. And if you cry out to him for mercy, he will touch you. Amen? So do not suffer alone. Amen? Now, somebody may say, I'm going to give you a few other scripture references. Write them down and read them after we get out of church. Genesis 16:11. This is the story of Hagar. Hagar was being mistreated by, somebody help me. Sarah, thank you. We have some Bible people in the house. So Hagar was being mistreated by Sarah. And she ran away and she's like, no, I can't take this anymore. And she's crying out to God. And Hagar, in a sense, could be seen as the other person. Hagar, in a sense, could be seen as the other person because the promise lay with Abraham and Sarah. And then when God came to Hagar's rescue, God said, you are pregnant now. Can we read that? You are pregnant now and you will have a son and his name will be Ishmael. And who knows what Ishmael means? I found this out when I was preparing. God sees close. God hears. Somebody needs an Ishmael. Not in the essence of the lineage, but in the essence of God hearing your prayer. Amen? And I'm telling you, God will hear your cry for mercy in the name of Jesus. So how else does God show mercy? How else does God show mercy? John 3:16. How else does God show mercy? And I know we can quote this out of the back of our minds, but I want us to read it. I want it to be projected. I want us to see what that word says. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? God so loved the world. Now, we know that the world is an enemy of God. But God's love for the world, or God's love for his enemy, caused him to give his only begotten son. I like this, the translation that says that his only begotten son. Because Jesus is the only begotten son of God. But you and I are sons as well. Amen. Glory to God. So God, in his love for humanity, even while we were still sinners, had mercy on us that he gave his most prized, I don't like saying that, but to convey the message, his most prized possession. He gave his son, his one and only son, that you and I could be brought in. I was thinking about this, and once the Lord told me that the garment of love is woven with threads of mercy. The garment of love is woven with threads of mercy. There cannot be real love until there is mercy. Amen? There cannot be love without mercy. And guess what? There cannot be mercy without sacrifice. Because mercy is not just covering up a wrong. Mercy is actually paying the bill, but you who is the authority, you pay the bill so that the person that you are having mercy on does not have to. Ever gone to a restaurant and said, I'll take the check? It's not that nobody had to pay. Somebody has to pay. It's just not you. Come on now. Praise the Lord. If mercy is a house, then the foundations on which it is built is sacrifice. Mercy is not just covering. Let's not think about it as nobody ever paid it. God pays it, and so you and I have to pay it. Amen? So John 3:16 is saying that God so loved the world that he took the check so that you and I can enjoy the meal without paying for it. Amen? And how many of us are going to be at the Lamb's Supper? Amen? We are going to enjoy that meal. Amen. But we didn't pay for it. Jesus did. Amen. So mercy is about taking the loss so another doesn't have to. When justice makes its demand, mercy says, I got this. Amen. Somebody say, I got this. And what that means is I'm going to have mercy on somebody next to me. Amen. Hallelujah. So what does that mean for you and I? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. What does 1 John 3:16 say? What does 1 John 3:16 say? The Bible says, this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Luke 6 verse 36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Amen. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only. And 1 John 3:16 says that because God so loved the world and gave his one and only, so we also, in expressing love, must lay down our lives so that my brother, my sister, I must lay down my own interests for the sake of my brother and my sister. Amen. Remember, there cannot be love without mercy. And the expectation from God is that as he has shown us mercy, we need to be merciful to the neighbor. Amen. To our neighbors. Amen. Compassion is about forgiving. It is about giving. It is about helping. Mercy is compassion. And compassion is about giving, forgiving, helping, among other things. So this is a challenge for not just you, but for me too. This is a challenge for us as the church. When we look at the world and you see the division that is in the world, let's take the political landscape of the United States of America. I'm old enough to remember, or I was interested enough even to remember, that there was a time in this country, not too long ago, when Democrats and Republicans, even though they disagreed, there was still a semblance of respect. There was still a semblance of oneness. It's a challenge that right now, it doesn't look that way. It's somebody on this side, another person on the other side. And why is that? One of my, about a year now, I switched jobs as part of the whole interview process, after I had gotten accepted, it was even before I got accepted. So as part of the interview process, they have you fill out personality tests, kind of like what we did earlier. And they ask you all these questions and they kind of give you your top five things. So when I started working there, recently they asked us to craft a why statement. Why do you do what you do? And one of the things that came out for me, or my why statement, is to inspire passionate people to lead with compassion. It's to inspire passionate people to lead with compassion. It's important to have passion. It's almost impossible to do anything without passion. But one of the challenges with passionate people is that they are so self-focused, for lack of a better word. They focus on just their thing. And they forget that there's somebody out there that is just as valuable. There's an opinion, or there's a point of view across from you that's just as valuable as the one that you have. But if we start with compassion, if we lead with compassion, knowing that I know what I believe, but I know I want to hear what you believe. Now, we may not agree, but I will not put you down on your belief. I am preaching good, even though you're not receiving it. No, you're receiving it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So it's important, as we live our lives with passion, as we live our lives with the focus that God has given us, it is important for us to understand that there is somebody out there that deserves my care, that deserves my concern as well. Amen? Other-mindedness is laying down self-interest. And if we are going to be merciful just like Daddy, if we are going to be merciful just like our Father, then we have to tune our ears to the cares and the suffering of somebody else. Amen? And what's the last thing you did with opportunity, somebody? You met it. Amen? So make opportunity to be compassionate. Don't just wait for somebody even to reach out to you. Have the sense, the emotional sense, the spiritual sense to reach out to some other people. Amen? Make the opportunity to care for somebody. In a world that's seemingly divided, God is sending us as the mercy arm to heal the broken. Amen? Jesus stored down an eye for an eye mentality. An eye for an eye makes the world blind. And have you ever wondered who gains from a blinded world? The Bible says that there is a God of this world that is always in the business of blinding people. So if you operate in the an eye for an eye ministry, you are helping the enemy of humanity who desires for the world to go blind. Amen? That shall not be our story in the name of Jesus. God is sending us as the mercy arm of God into our world. And we are here to restore sight to those that have been blinded. In the name of Jesus. That is our responsibility. That is our call. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, as much as I want you to focus on especially, my desire today is that you will look at let us do good to all. Amen. Remember, we are being merciful, or we are being directed, or God is instructing us to be merciful just as He is merciful. And we saw in Psalm 145 that God is good to all. And here we have another directive that we should be good to all. Amen? Especially those who belong to the family of believers. So do good in the house. Look around you. Maybe you spend much of your time in the house. So do good in the house. But when you step outside of the house, do good there as well. Amen? And remember that we make opportunity and not just take it. So as we have opportunity, being that we will make opportunity, we will be and do good to all. Amen? May God bless you. Hallelujah. So I want to, as I close, I want to share with you the story of the Good Samaritan. And that's in Luke 10, 25 and 37. We won't read the whole thing. In fact, I'll just kind of talk through it. So the story of the Good Samaritan has four characters. Yeah. Or four characters that I want to focus on. Being that I have the mic. So there are two church leaders, pastors like yours truly. And there was some other guy that didn't even go to Victory House. Right? And then there was the injured. There was the person that was hurt, robbed, left for dead. Maybe they were right on the corner of the street. And so the dramatized version says that the pastors, they rushed by the guy because they were rushing to church, right? We have business to attend to in church. And so we don't have time for this guy on the street. And then there was some guy that wasn't really part of Victory House. That guy is part of Victory House, amen, because we are compassionate, amen, that ended up recognizing the need of the injured person. It's interesting that that story says that he took care of the injured person and then took him to like a hotel or like a rehabilitation center, right, a hospital. And he said that, you know what? Take care of this guy, and whatever he needs or whatever charges he incurs, whatever costs he incurs, charge them to me. Yeah, here's my card. Thank you. She's preaching with me. Here's my card. Charge it to me. Amen? And see, that's what mercy is about. Remember, we talked about mercy and compassion. It's not just nobody has paid for this thing. Somebody pays for it. And that's the challenge that God is giving us. Let somebody use your card. Amen. Don't ask for mine. Not yet. God is still working in me. But seriously though, be other-minded. Be other-minded. Recognize the need. Recognize the suffering of somebody else. Amen? What does it take to be merciful? And I'm closing. What does it take to be merciful? It's not easy. I envision Jesus on the cross. You know what? Even before Jesus goes to the cross, you know the Bible says that he was in the garden and he was weeping and he was sweating. It's not easy. Amen? But there is a way that we can receive the grace to be merciful. And here's how. I will show you. It's not the only way, but it's the one that I want to share with you. Amen? Philippians 4 and verse 13. Takes spiritual strength for you to be merciful, for you to be compassionate, for you to look and turn the other cheek. Amen? Remember Reverend Ezekiel said that you turn the other cheek. They didn't say, let me not refer. You can walk away, but don't let somebody slap you over and over and over and over. Amen. Especially married people. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But what does it take to be merciful? Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It is going to take spiritual strength for you and I to be merciful, for you and I to live a mercy-filled life, for you and I to be the mercy arm of God in the world. When people offend you, when people hurt you, when people come against you, sometimes warranted, sometimes not, it's going to take spiritual strength for you to be able to rise up in mercy, for you to be able to recognize suffering. Amen? And the Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to read the translation I have. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen? Now that we know that it's going to require spiritual strength, how do we contact that spiritual strength? And you can ask for it. Amen? Thanks be to God because we can be strengthened. Ephesians 3 and verse 16, and that's what we are going to do as we arise. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So please rise with me as we read this scripture. And then we are going to take 5 minutes and put that scripture into action. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Spiritual strength, or the strength we need to portray mercy, to be merciful, just as God is merciful, is going to come from the reinforcing of our spirit by the Spirit of God. We call God the Almighty, but He is also the All-Merciful. He is the Father of mercies because He is that strong. He can take the weight of sin, the weight of offense, under His shoulder or on His shoulder because He is the strong one. And you and I need that type of strength. You and I are going to need that type of strength if we are going to live a life of mercy. And see, a life of mercy is not just a life of mercy. It is love expressed. Because there is no love until there is mercy. And there is no mercy until there is sacrifice. And it takes strength to sacrifice. So I want you to open your mouth and say this after me. We're going to pray. And if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, do that. I'll take 3-5 minutes, maybe less. But we're going to pray for spiritual strength. That I want, grant me strength, God. That you, my spirit will be reinforced. That my inner man will be enlarged. That I'll be able to live a life of mercy. Can you say this after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I desire to live a life of mercy. And as I begin to pray right now, I ask that you will grant me strength in my inner man to be able to live a mercy-filled life. Can you take a moment and just pray it out? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Mesotari gede de bresota gariga gaziga dalebora, mantariga gagozege delebarandeye. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe we receive strength. We believe we receive inner strength. We believe we receive strength of spirit, strength of heart. Ijalande bariga zagagazese, zekrota yiga bariga gazogoze, zingata deble, mazande lebosika, rekekosika tadagada, breke zizizizuzo, lebakandale bagazigia, roteke sekekete, matakataka tokorege gezizia. I believe I receive strength. Ijalaka katekekete, rekekosika kata, deboronda labakasiga da labar. I will lift up my eyes. I will look within because strength rises up on the inside of me by the reason of the anointing, by the reason of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, by the reason of the release or the flow down or the pour down of the Spirit of God upon me. Ziga yadala bazoze reke sindiriaba makredezi baragazegeze reje delebo makrika sakata lagagagazizie reteketekete mazunga daliba shikata legede rege zogozegege deleba matekete rogozagagadia mesida la brekesunza legegedegede ribo sotokote jiliga gazagade makatala kakase zeketekekete. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Finally, I want you to pray for your neighbor. Just hold them, touch them, wave to them. You're going to pray for your neighbor. One of the things that I love about I'll say Joshua, but you know I love so many things about Joshua. In the book of Joshua, there's something that he says. He says that your fighting men, this is after when they were, two and a half of the tribes had received land over on the other side of the river, and they were going into the promised land. He said that, let your fighting men move and go with this group until every one of them has received their inheritance, until every one of them has received what God has promised them. And I always see that as a prayer. Prayer is about helping somebody else receive what God has called them to. Amen. So you're going to pray for your neighbor and you're going to say, Father, I pray and speak spiritual strength into them, that they will be able to stand up, that they will be able to stand up, that they will be able to stand up, that they will not be weighed down in the name of Jesus. Rizotala pakaria. Mekrovende bashiga dagada. Ruvesende keke kusika talabagadia. Maronde sheke tukalabaria. Zuku tagare bagazuganama kutaliga gazugude. Ri zumbaka telege gozizia. U paradi kisukukuze. Borija bariza buredi gadalia. Sanda baruka zegedia. Moko tekekete. Rizo zekekete. Reke kosikata. We will be mercy arms of the Lord in our generation, in our time, in these times, in the name of Jesus. Rizagada lebakakute. Rekesuku talabara kakasekekese. Mariti shigadili bagadole gagazizia. Ronde kekese. We will be mercy arms of the Lord in our time, in the name of Jesus. Riza katala gagazi. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Father, we thank you. Your name is worthy of praise. Blessed be your name. We believe we receive strength to live a mercy-filled life in Jesus' name.